Emmy Award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory-smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Love your glaze.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
Wow.
All right. Are we good to go?
I think so.
Okay.
I am, you know.
You feeling good, buddy?
Yeah, man.
You're calm?
Yeah.
This is nice because I feel like we're at a bus stop in purgatory. Mm-hmm. How would you act? What did you bring for lunch?
Normally, it'd be nice to have like a ball to bounce.
Yeah.
But if you're in purgatory, normally you are sitting doing nothing, kind of like what the majority of Americans are doing currently.
Absolutely.
Just
of course,
staring.
The majority of the Americans can masturbate because they're not at a bus stop and they're at home.
But how long can you masturbate?
Well, we're going to find out.
But wait, one thing I will say that came out. So, obviously, we waited to record this episode until after the election.
Well, Henry was
stupidly
like,
thought.
I said, let's do Monday. And Henry's like, well, we got to wait until after the election. It's going to be a whole new world after the election. But now we're recording in the middle of it.
Yay.
Like a weird, like we're in the marrow of the election.
And
we wanted to avoid this, but we didn't.
It's really garbage. I feel like I am suffocated by red tape and that I'm in a casket. Like, it's like I'm in a casket, yeah. and I'm banging, and I know that there maybe the grave digger will come.
Could
because
be.
He loves to go piss on all the graves.
Of course. Well, it's Wednesday or Thursday, rather.
Because
yeah.
So we hear the trickling through the dirt. That's how I'll know the grave digger's here and go, I'm alive! I'm alive!
And then all he does is pee on you.
Yep.
Isn't
hey,
that
welcome
nice?
To America. But
absolutely.
Hey, also welcome to fucking America. Portland legalized cocaine.
All right. Well, we'll talk a little bit about that.
Holy
and we'll get
shit.
To the biggest stories of the news. Welcome to Side Stories, everyone. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry. You heard that right. Oregon has decriminalized small amounts of heroin, meth, cocaine,
whoa.
And has full on legalized magic mushrooms.
Wow.
.. For therapy.
Amen.
For therapy. So
every
don't
day.
Just use them to drive better.
You know what I do? I put on my ascot, right? I put on my ascot. I put on my monocle.
I know
I have
what
my little
do.
Mirror. I have my hypnotist pendant that I use, and I look at it, and I tell anybody, if any cop comes, and I'm fucking, you know, just shoving mushrooms in my face, I
naturally.
Say, I'm in therapy.
Can you please leave me alone? So, Oregon, just when you thought woo. The home of Portland couldn't get any more fun, let's add a little bit of meth, add a little cocaine,
yeah.
and a small amount of therapeutic magic mushrooms. And you know what, dare I say? Portlandia, that show, just got a lot better.
Honestly, Portland has just turned their frown permanently upside down. It's an almost macabre jack-o'-lantern-like yeah. grin that it like, will be permanently carved well, into the face of Portland.
You know when you do a bunch of coke and you don't want to be smiling, but you have to smile
yeah,
and your teeth are gritting.
Yeah,
but your brain is like, I'm so devastated and it's so sad, but you're like, your face is smiling.
Yeah.
That's a special kind of hell. And now in Oregon, you can just have that.
Oh, anytime, man. The cops can't stop you from fucking being in the middle of a hole of your own making.
I love
good
it.
Good for you guys, though.
Truly, I'm say, happy for them.
We have such good friends. In Portland, I want to say to y'all, hey, just fucking know your dealer.
Know your dealer. Apparently, it can just be the officer. It can just be the town cop nowadays. Slinging. They don't have to pepper you with the coke anymore. They can sell it to you.
They could just sell it to you.
Isn't
you just make
nice?
Money. That's so much fun. But well, otherwise, we are just trapped in the type of limbo. I hate this. I hate this so deeply.
Well, you know what, Henry? Let me tell you a story that you might like.
What?
In Russia... Well, this is actually quite sad.
What's sad about it?
You know the Sausage King. You know the Sausage King in Russia. You kind of follow him all the time.
Yeah, my boy, Vladilenko.
Vladilenko, the Sausage King. He was killed with a crossbow in a sauna. Yeah, he was in Moscow.
Man, I was supposed to go have a 2 week sausage siesta.
Yeah, you got the tube special where you get the 2 weeks, all the tubes you can eat.
You can eat sausage till your cholesterol hits 186.
Really?
And then they cut you off.
No kidding.
So you've got a guy there running a line. He's checking your cholesterol at all times. Once you see the full fat cubes in, like, mixed amongst the platelets, that's when they cut you off.
That's when you have to be cut off there. The Sausage King, well, his life was cut off. Several intruders broke into a sauna at the home of the Russian meat tycoon. He is known as the Sausage King.
Yeah, Vladimir Madigov, owner of Oryuzhorsky Sausages and Meat Empire Sausage Factories. Man, this guy was living the life.
Yes, he was. A woman managed to escape the attack. So, you know, he's just in there eating a bunch of sausage. Daddy, did you want some sausage? Daddy, did you want some sausage? With this woman, and all of a sudden, a bunch of intruders with crossbows break in. This is a freaking horror movie, and the woman survived.
I'm going to say if Vladimir Marugov found out that he had, like, cross fans with Tom Green, he would have Tom Green fucking tortured and executed.
You know what? Tom Green, I don't know
How dare you? You ever bring down the importance in the status of sausages?
I think Tom Green
Tom
might
Green
be...
Tom Green in the mockery of my sausages.
I think Tom Green might be the most famous comedian in Russia.
No.
I could see it totally flat. I could see Tom Green... Because it's always that way. It's like Stefan Marbury. He's the Michael Jordan of China. It's kind of bizarre. Not that Tom Green isn't an icon in America, but he could just be like a god over there. We don't know.
No, Russia's got... It's got Pachinko, the obedient bear. he's huge over there. You've got... have you ever heard how funny the cops are over there?
I have not heard that, no.
They just love it. Oh, they actually knew that it's this weird blue hat brigade, like... people are doing wearing cones on their heads. It's the idea of making fun of the fact that I guess in Metro Russia, like in Moscow and shit, if you are a dignitary, you can cut through like street laws by having a blue siren
like you're
on the
a
top
Kmart
of your car.
Blue special, like you're a blue light special, but you're a person.
You basically can just put the siren on the top of your car, and then you can drive around and not have to follow rules of the road. I think I'm way oversimplifying this, but there's like an
Maybe
artistic
not.
Rebellion against it. This like movement where people with cones on their heads are like running into traffic and like destabilizing shit.
It definitely makes sense why there's so many road rage videos coming out of Moscow and coming out of Russia. If you can just be an aristocrat with a cone on your head and cut in front of traffic, I would freak the fuck out too.
This is a very interesting story too. So Sausage King was murdered in his sauna with a crossbow.
Now when you think about a crossbow, first of all, you have to have expertise in using the crossbow.
No, they're easier than ever. I've looked
no
them
way.
Up. Yeah, man, it's like
easier
a gun.
Easier than a gun?
Yeah, it's just as easy as a gun.
No, you have to
guns
load
are
them
easy.
Like a muzzle.
No, absolutely not.
They self-load the crossbows?
Yeah, dude. You get the little cartridges. You know, you remember when I was looking these up like a fucking year and a half ago. I got deep into crossbow like information because...
But you went like on 8 websites.
No, but you realize how easy it is to get a crossbow and do maintenance on crossbow and use a crossbow because of how often they say that in all the websites. Because they keep saying, easier than a gun, less traceable than a gun. They're so excited about how free a crossbow is to any sort of examination.
Well, this guy, he owned Oryuzhorsky Sausages.
Yes.
And I am devastated. This is just, this to me is like he reminds me of the father from Nothing But Trouble. Dare I say the judge.
Again,
I'm just bringing him up so people can feel something good.
I just feel like you live in that world and you walk around like in the Sims and you just see the characters from Nothing But Trouble everywhere that you go.
Yeah. Do you think we're living in a simulation? Kind of right now, aren't we?
Well, there is a very high chance that we're living in a simulation. Mm-hmm. We are currently in a media simulation. We definitely have been manipulated by the many different, what they all say, the fair, quote-unquote, balanced different cable companies on either sides of the Iron Curtain of politics. They've been manipulating us a great deal in this little red and blue parade that we have to watch every single day. This fucking bullshit that we are just kind of trapped down, fucking nipples deep inside of.
The investigative committee said the intruders. Now we're back into Russia here, and we're back into the Sausage King conversation. The intruder said, give me some cash. So they took some cash, and then they fled in his car. The getaway vehicle was recovered.
But this is this is a very interesting story because the suspects that they believe, they went and they investigated their apartment, the apartment complex.
A lot of sausage around there, huh?
No, I honestly think it's an anti-sausage movement.
Really?
But they say that this was closely resembling, like, in the 90s in Russia, there was, like, a lot of fucking, like, different people whacking each other. There was, like, a lot of mob warfare mixed with, like, business warfare. And this seems to be something like that. They investigated the suspect, or the person that killed Vladimir Marugov, because he was ostensibly tied up, robbed, murdered. So, but they also don't think there was still money on him. So they're not quite certain if it was a full-on robbery or what the hell was happening. When they got to the suspect's house, because the information is not released on the suspect, they found that there was an old man tied to the bed inside of the suspect's house.
What?
It's this old man that is, and this is a very interesting, like, a fucking side story. Turns out the man was identified as Alexei Zogorodny. I don't know if I said that correct.
Nailed
He's
it.
A lawyer, best known for representing a notorious Russian mafia hitman in the 1990s. So this is like, there's something connected to the mafia in all this.
Were they trying to kill the lawyer who was tied up for sexual reasons?
Maybe.
I mean, it must have been sexual reasons.
I hope so.
Indeed.
But he was the lawyer for a contract killer by the name of Alexander Solonik, who is better known as Sasha the Macedonian for his superior marksmanship with pistols in both hands, known as Macedonian style in Russian. Wow. All right. Solonik was linked to dozens of killings and escaped from prison three times before he was strangled to death by another well-known hitman, Alexander Pustovalov.
Well, that needs to be a movie, and it's a good day to be a lawyer. If you're a lawyer and you can get a hitman as a client, you are set for life.
Absolutely. That's great. It keeps on giving right there. That's like a
absolutely
jelly club of the month for murder.
Absolutely incredible. So we don't know what happened. The woman, she just ran away. She was no hero, that's for sure, was she? Now?
No,
but then again, I would run away too.
Think about this. You're sitting in here. You're in the sauna, right?
She probably doesn't love the guy.
I mean,
he's
we don't
sausage
know.
Money.
But also at the same time, is there no loyalty to the meat? You sitting here, you're sitting in the sauna paid for by meat. The clothes she's got on, it might be paid for by meat.
Do you
meat.
Think there were little sausages in the hot tub?
I think that if he probably threw a couple in there to steam,
well,
you
for
throw
fun.
Some brats,
yeah.
You pour some Heineken over the coals.
Oh.
Oh, and you start thinking of that nice, ooh, that snappy skin. Oh, I like a nice bratwurst like that. But think about this.
I do love that.
You have an opportunity to step in front of the crossbow bolt that will fell an incredibly important man. In the meat economy of Russia, which has to be one of the larger meat economies.
They love their meat. It's comfort food. Sticks to your ribs. You know he's a meat oligarch. They run the show over there. So
yes.
Something happened. Killed with a crossbow. I do think if you are going to kill anybody with any weapon, you got to pick up the weapon.
Why?
And you got to leave with it. Otherwise, you're leaving too much evidence.
No, they didn't. They left. They brought the weapon with them. He had a crossbow bolt in his body.
No,
it wasn't like he went in with a hammer
the,
and went ding, 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 ding.
They
ding,
could have grabbed ding, the crossbow as well. It's much easier to grab than a bullet.
No, you get some screaming naked chick running out of the sauna. So, yeah, there might have been a little bit of scrambling.
She just ran away.
Yeah, but now, you know, there's a witness.
And now we have somebody tied up upstairs. What? Whoa. I thought we were supposed to be the crazy ones. What's going on in this house? You know, when you home invade a home and then you're like, why is everyone tied up in here?
Holy shit. That's like this movie, A Villains, that was very good. With Pennywise is in it.
Oh, look, great actor. Did they flip it? That's what you have to do. We've said this before on the show. Flip it and make them the hostage.
That's what it is.
It's also, I think that's the plot of the movie with Adam Sandler and the radio
the
station.
Ref.
Not the ref.
I think also is a hostage situation. Airheads.
Yes. Airheads, yes.
Well, there was a lot of that in the 90s.
There really was. All right.
Of like casual joking about terrorism.
Celtic pride.
I feel like we're kind of... Like, we're in the eggs of that have sprouted into this idea that, like, domestic terrorism's, like, cute.
Isn't that nice how jokes are so powerful? Well, we could go to Montreal, too, if you want to talk about these two dudes who were had a bit of a first-degree murder spree after a Halloween sword attack.
Oh, wait. First thing I want to say is jetpack guy got caught on film.
What? Oh, yes. They caught him on film, but they didn't catch him.
They have not caught him, but the jetpack guy,
this
there
is
footage. You can look this up. Look, there is footage of this jetpack guy flying over LAX. It's wild because he also, it seems... He is taking off and landing from somewhere on, like, LAX property.
So
there's something weird going on.
Is there a special spot that nobody has cameras at or something?
Oh, you mean like his little, like, no girls allowed clubhouse?
Does he have an Al Bundy no ma'am situation?
I don't know.
I don't love the idea that there's a secret teleport pad or a secret, not a teleport pad. I guess it is a teleport pad.
No, it's not a teleport pad. We can't teleport yet.
We can't teleport. What do you call those things? Helipad.
Helipad. Yeah,
there's
yeah,
a secret
yeah.
helipad.
If there was
LAX.
A teleport pad, you know where I'd be? Cabo.
Oh, okay. You can teleport anywhere. You're just going to a place you can get a discount ticket on. You could just take an Alaskan airline trip for $69 to get there.
They go immediately?
Why wouldn't you?
1 second. I'm sitting in here. You're weird, vaguely, like, just the moisture coming off of
I'm
you.
I'm hungover and also sweaty. And
yeah, yeah.
Just,
all of this. I feel yeah. the soup just waving off me in particles and particles and particles. What would I give to just step in a little booth? And all of a sudden, I'm in Cabo.
You think talking to a random stranger at a Cabo bar right now will be cleaner and less soupy feeling than talking to me?
To be completely frank, I just feel like I'll be like, get screamed at about how, like, you know, Trump is the chosen one, and then he's got fucking like all that weird Q shit where he's got like time machine goggles and all of that. Like, that's a real conspiracy theory. And the idea, then you're sitting there talking about how like JFK Jr. is still alive, and you have to be like, listen, man, I'm just trying to listen to Sammy Hagar at this bar.
And that is every American's right.
Physically listening to Sammy Hagar speak to me at the other side of the bar.
Well, you know, he works there. You know, he's the bartender. He does it all. He's the janitor.
He's got a new rum?
Yes, indeed. And, of course, there are no real conspiracy theories. Aren't they all fake by nature? Very intriguing.
Ooh, you know,
also, I did see the story that Henry had pulled up here on his computer that it's not really much of a story, but a dude fell through the ground in New York, which,
oh, no.
Yeah, that does happen.
We need to talk about this story.
Because you hear this story, the number one horror is, what do you mean the guy fell through the ground? Yeah, you just fall through the ground in New York. That happens.
This is a story, New York Times, New York Nightmare, which I love the way they start.
New York Nightmare.
Because it is a New York Nightmare.
The New York Giants are the New York Nightmare and the Jets.
Kissel, save it for Kind of Fun, our new all sports inclusive podcast.
We're working on it, baby.
See?
Yes, and you did a great job. Thank you for the plug.
New York Nightmare. Man falls through sidewalk into, I love the term, rat-filled chasm.
This is disgusting. They show videos of the rats. This dude, again.
This has come from the 9/11 call. Rats calling on him. He cannot move, said the brother of the man who was rescued after about 30 minutes.
New York rats, you have to understand, first of all, they're starving right now because the restaurantes are closed.
Yep.
They are going. I was just talking to my buddy who was like, yeah, New York, they did outdoor eating, but it's all on the streets. And he's like, so you're just around a bunch of hungry rats and mice. It's really quite disgusting.
That's a New York nightmare.
The aggressive nature of a New York rat, they are.
They'll bite your fucking clit.
They'll kill you. They will straight up kill you. So this man,
they'll bury their way into your body. They're so excited to find any sort of warmth, any sort of liquid.
As we learned with Kuklinski, right?
Well, he tried.
They can eat that body.
But he groomed those rats, and not with little bows and nail polish. He grew them into a hungering and craving human flesh. But this is like, I mean, it's a nightmare.
It is horrible.
The footage shows him standing at a bus stop, waiting to go to work, because what's so much more fun than having to go to, you have to get on a bus in the middle of a pandemic in order to go to a job that you have to be thankful for, or you just get just rolled over. It's country's in great shape.
So this guy was having a rough day to begin with.
And so then he, on what he thought was stable concrete, he just falls through.
New York is falling apart.
He just falls through the concrete into the series of rats. They said he had to keep his mouth shut. All right, stunned bystanders who rushed. This comes from the New York Times by Mihir Zaviri. Stunned bystanders who rushed to the edge of the chasm faced a ghastly sight. Mr. Shoulders, his name was Leonard Shoulders. Oh, man. Because Shoulders also the perfect places for rats to sit.
Yeah, that's kind of nice if he was a pirate.
Mr. Shoulders had dropped 12 to 15 feet into an underground vault teeming with rats. Rats crawling on him, he cannot move. He did not want to yell because he was afraid there was going to be rats inside of his mouth.
Mr. Shoulders, are you okay? I'm just so much more than that. I'm also a head. I have a torso.
How's the count going in Nevada?
That's horrible. I should die. I'm so much more than Shoulders, sir. It's just kind of a funny joke.
Yeah, all you do is count my shoulders. What about my waist? That is also very substantial, Mr. Shoulders, which is why you are currently inside of the ground.
No!
Videos of the scene show him eventually being wheeled away on a stretcher, but he was stuck inside of there for 30 minutes.
So he's going to get every shot in the book. He's going to get polio shot, tetanus shot. He is probably got some kind of new rat disease. This is not a fun movie. Or even if, let's just take this to superhero logic. Let's go 1992.
Oh, he becomes Ratman?
Yes. Now he's just Ratman.
Ratman.
So he's got a massive overbite. Now all of a sudden he's into banking. I don't know what he does as Ratman, but it's the worst possible superhero. No one will be happy to see you.
I was just watching a movie where a man turns into a rat. Oh, yes. I was watching Shane Morton had put out the Lord Creatrix of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, the artistic designer of Your Pretty Face is Going to Hell, put out a Halloween like Twitch show, and one of those someone had a man turning into a rat.
How'd he do?
He died.
He did not
like it.
It
was bad. It was not good, no.
It's just not sexy. But think about how
it's not that sexy, but you can fit in through all these crevices.
You can fit in through crevices.
And some women, people, not even just women, people love rats. People keep rats as pets.
They love domesticated rats.
Yes.
Assuming that this man would be able to be a domesticated rat. I mean, I guess if you look at someone like a Batman or a Ratman, but at least bats, they fly. Yeah, this guy can burrow into places. He can eat a lot of pizza crust all at once.
He can.
So can you. I can too. I can already do that. But now this will be a special treat for Mr. Shoulders. So by day he's Mr. Shoulders and by night he's Ratman.
I don't know. I think that
it's a rough day for him.
I think that he's just going to be forced to go back to work as fast as humanly possible, even as Ratman.
Yeah.
Because I think that he probably can't miss that many checks in a row.
No, not if you're waiting at the bus stop in the early morning. It was still dark outside, poor man.
So he probably will have to go straight back to work, and the ultimate New York nightmare, capitalism. Ugh. And he will have to go. And
what are the taxes? I mean, I'm just saying, what are the taxes paying for if we don't even have sidewalks?
This is what I'm saying.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go. Let's get out of America for a second. Man has been charged with two counts of first-degree murder after a Halloween sword attack in Quebec City. So this dude's 24 years old. He was in a medieval outfit on Halloween night, and I guess he took his character work a little too seriously.
But this is the thing. They say medieval outfit.
Yeah.
Right?
It's like a knight.
You see, you jumped a knight.
What else would it be?
Because there's so many. You could.
He's not dressed like a jester.
But it depends on what he could be. What if he kept saying medieval outfit? I keep seeing him dressed in like a snood with one of those tunics on.
It sounds like
he's selling turkey legs at a Ren Fair.
You're talking about the bit players in medieval life. Nobody dresses up as them. They dress up as the knights or a king.
Losers do.
This guy was obviously, you know what? Not a winner, so perhaps you're right.
I'm saying.
He stabbed people. He stabbed seven people with the sword. He killed one person, which is like, I just don't feel like it's super easy to get killed with a sword.
I'll go ahead and I'll just fucking correct you before the emails come pouring in.
Okay.
Because I'm going to tell you straight up, a man with a pointed-edged weapon is far more, or a woman, is far more dangerous than somebody with a gun.
Well,
because it's easier with a gun, you run towards.
No, it's not more dangerous. Would you rather have a gun or a sword in a fight?
Don't bring
a sword to a gunfight.
Yeah, but guess what? Don't bring a sword to a spoon fight. Don't bring a sword to a restaurant.
You completely changed the parameters.
Don't bring a gun to a petting zoo. That's the main rule.
So court documents identify Carl Gerard. He's a tall, thin man. I don't know why they include this, but he's a tall, thin man with dark hair.
Because they want you to know, in Canada, a symbol of strength of both morality and physicality is a nice big old Molson-like barrier between you and everyone. A nice thick gut.
Yeah, well,
that's what you really tell who a healthy man is.
I know that.
You know that.
On Halloween night, cops were contacted around 10:30 p.m. There was a two and a half hour manhunt. I mean, they're looking for a knight with a sword. I guess this is Quebec. It's like everybody.
I wish they just would term an instead of a manhunt, a boy hunt. Because it does feel more of a boy hunt versus a man hunt.
He really got into the cosplay, didn't he?
Yep.
So after two and a half hours, dude was arrested at 1 a.m., and this is according to the Quebec City Police Chief Robert Pigeon. He said during a news conference Sunday morning, with the intention of doing the most possible
Commander
damage.
Commander Pigeon?
Yeah, Pigeon said that everything leads us to believe he chose his victims at random, which is freaking scary. You're going out for Halloween. All of a sudden, a knight with a real sword starts freaking stabbing you and all your friends.
And then the next thing he said, "And I also sure wish someone would come remove this cowboy hat someone stapled to my head."
Oh,
you remember?
Remember Nevada? Yeah, that was. They were so cute, but they were glued.
And then killed them. Yeah, they killed each one of them. It's brutal.
They were cute with those little hats.
It was for a second.
Yeah, the police chief said, "Gerard."
It's like you've ever seen a turtle just struggle with a bunch of fucking six pack containers. for a while, it's kind of fun.
Cute. They had to get a big one. You got to get a big one.
Yeah.
Police chief said Gerard does not have a criminal record, but he did reveal 5 years ago, quote, medical context that he wanted to commit a violent act.
Why? Because he's probably saying, "Once I'm gonna get out of here, I'm gonna get my sword and I'm gonna kill all you fuckers."
Yep.
What was that? What was that, sir? I'm gonna get it. I'm gonna get my sword. I'm gonna get my knight. I don't know if you can tell. I'm a knight. I'm a man of the round table.
Well, no criminal record though.
Yep. I guess I gotta go free. Because if not, I will not have a chance to punish my chainmail.
I think we need Ratman over here to kill this guy. Very dangerous stuff.
The thing about rats, too, rats are neutral.
No, they are not neutral.
I believe that they are neutral. They well, do, again, not- like and like the interplanetary, interdimensional entities we deal with, we do not fit as a part of the rat's agenda. They do not care if we live or die in their world, except they do live off of us.
Well, Quebec Premier Francois Legault, he said this. He said the Quebec population is once again put to a test. As tragic as these events are, don't lose sight of the fact that this is not representative of the community that is characterized by its warmth. So isn't that nice? When you think Quebec, although I think
it's very
French,
nice,
and I don't think warmth though. I don't think of warmth when I think of the French.
They're very rude.
They're very rude. I don't think negatively. I think it's really fun, but you definitely don't go into France and be like, "I'm going to add a little bit of my culture here," because they're going to do a little thing called rejected.
In Canada, it's different. One thing I will say about Quebec is that it has some of the most beautiful people in the world. Montreal has got fucking, it's just, there's something about the French water or some shit.
They are very nice in many,
but,
many ways.
You know, this is just one of those crimes that happens every once in a while. It's happened quite a bit this year. We've seen a lot of medieval themed people killing other people with swords because it seems to be very easy for these nerds to acquire these weapons. Because they're buying it, because on one level you're buying it to just impress other nerds about your sword collection. How often that's seen as I guess it gives you points.
I guess
in their
it
world.
Does. In a very Quebecian way, Martin Roux, perhaps you could read this in his accent, but I can just read it in mine first. This is a witness. He says, "We were really witnesses to the manhunt." He says, "There was a lot of adrenaline, especially when you see police officers walking and running with their weapons drawn. That is just a day in America. The idea that someone would even recognize cops running with their weapons drawn, it's like something out of the ordinary. If I saw that right now,
I'm like, they're going to the store. They must be going trying to get new pants at the Nordstrom rack.
Yeah, must be trying to shoot open that Diet Coke can.
Fun. Because, in New York, especially the time we spent in New York, you got very accustomed to the cops just wearing full-on AK-47, full-on fucking army gear all the
time. Penn Station, it's straight-up Total Recall, man. They are ready for anything, but unfortunately, the trains are not ready to run on time.
What, Kissel? Keep it. You're out of the state now. You can't complain anymore. all right, here's another story that I love because you know what it comes down to? I think that a lot of people, there's a lot of divisive shit going on in this country.
No.
And I think that it's important to remember, there's as families, we've got to stick together.
Sure.
And this is not about a family all having sex with each other either.
Oh, thank God. Yeah, I thought you were really going to human centipede this.
No, mystery over death of reclusive mother, 84, and her blind son, 60, whose bodies were found in Spartan Flat with 10 chocolate cakes and a note saying, "Do not come in."
Well, they have to eat the chocolate cakes. To be fair, I've sort of been doing that because of I had a bit of a get together on Tuesday, which I am finding election themed day parties might not be the best.
Election parties are, first of all, you're just watching the spinning of the various corporations that own our country all fight each other.
Maybe in a different time it'll be fun. I just feel we had fun
when you're Joe Rogan in a fucking compound.
In
yes.
2008, we had a really nice night.
Yeah, 12 years ago. 12 years ago.
We're one for four. All right. But anyway, maybe they were just having fun because everyone brought all their Halloween candy over when I had my Election Day party, and I've been eating nothing but chocolate.
No, I know. Yeah. Honestly, we should take it back.
You should.
You're not. I'm not even talking about weight. I'm just talking about your blood sugar content.
No, it's been bad because they've been the mini muffins, but they're not muffins. They're cupcakes.
And you said you've been peeing a lot.
Yep.
That's pre-diabetic.
No kidding.
Hey, man, congrats. It's like the prequels to Star Wars. You're about to get the full Empire Strikes Back. That's what you're going to be like, but with diabetes.
My balls are like Jar Jar Binks, and my brain is like Anakin Skywalker.
It's just like it.
My sister is the best gift giver I've ever met of any person. It's Jackie Zabrowski. She shops all year thinking about her family and friends and puts little things aside for their birthdays and Christmases. I have no idea how she does it. I don't know how she do it. But guess what? She always wins Mother's Day, but not this year. I'm coming back. Ready to win Mother's Day and cement your reputation as the best gift giver in the family? I'm taking the crown. All right. Give the moms in your life an Aura digital picture frame preloaded with decades of family photos. I mean this. We have the Aura frame up in my home. We absolutely love it. I can put photos on it very, very easily through the app. It's fun to do. And the memories keep cycling and I get emotional. And we filled it with pictures of Carmi and Wendy. And that is not sad. That is celebratory. So you should try it. It's honestly a really good product. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code LEFT at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of six live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
So this story, all right, this is just strange. So a mystery of the death of a mother and son found among a cryptic arrangement of radios, clocks, and chocolate cake. Jeez. May never be solved. June and Stephen Corfield, 84 and 60, were discovered by a PCSO and housing authority boss who had entered their flat in Bracknell in January. Around them were 10 chocolate cakes and a handwritten note which read, "Put memo at the top of the stairs, do not come in." Okay. Which I think does feel like, honestly, if Ratman is real, then fucking Dr. Cake is real. And this feels like Dr. Cake has struck again with a mysterious series of crimes.
Well, you think he's trying to lure in Ratman with said cakes?
Okay. And it's not going to be good for dogs. Hopefully no dogs were there.
Every electrical item had been switched off in the home or disconnected, and there was no bedding or cleaning products inside. So literally it was an empty apartment with these two people in it. Light fittings had been emptied of bulbs, and the boiler and the heating were unused.
Jeez.
In the bin was a newspaper dated December 12th, 2019.
2019. Okay, so these guys were hoarding up for a while.
And they say, and this says, despite the fact Mr. Corfield was blind, which is true, he probably couldn't read it, but he could still swat his own ass with it.
Yeah, and it's nice just to hold it sometimes.
It's nice. So I imagine if you're blind, you'll hold up a newspaper on a park bench, and when someone comes up and asks you, be like, so tell me what's the news of the day, you can put the fucking newspaper down and show your sunglasses and be like, fuck you, I'm blind, buddy.
Yeah, you could do that, or you could just make it up on the spot and it's just like, be like,
well, stocks are up, you better sell.
Stocks are low, stocks are up, stocks are equal.
What?
Great.
So the police had initially believed that they could have been looking at a fun old-fashioned murder-suicide. Sure. But they've ruled out any foul play. Detective Sergeant Liam Butler of Maidenhead CID told the hearing all of the electrical items were unplugged and the main electrical fuse box was turned to the off position. They just shut off all of the power to the house and just laid in it until they died.
This is very strange. It's always weird when children grow with their parents, like whenever you have a 60-year-old guy and an 84-year-old mother living together. I mean, at least they didn't have sex with each other like we've covered in many stories.
Well,
in the
we
past.
Don't know.
Let's just say they didn't.
Let's look at her stomach. That's what I want to see. I want to see the contents of the mother's stomach, see if there was any semen in there.
Well, we don't know that, but apparently they were saying that she was not necessarily the healthiest.
All they had was cakes and water, which actually is that at the foot of June's chair was an empty bottle, believed to be a water bottle. At the foot of Stephen's chair was a half-empty water bottle containing clear liquid. Both bottles were tested and were found to contain a neutral water-based liquid.
It's just water.
I mean, I feel like they're being real technical.
Well, Dr. Robert Chapman, but you do mention, you know, the cakes. Apparently, she was 5 feet tall, and she weighed just 33 kilograms, which is 5 stone. So I guess she, that was not good. She's very light, I guess.
She's very light.
And then she had pneumonia, and then she died of a coronary heart disease.
Well, they said, yeah, both appeared very gaunt. Their eyes were sunken.
So they're not eating the cake. They have all the cake around them. I don't understand why the cake then.
I don't know. It feels like one of those, like, diet things where you kind of feel like if you have stuff, it's like it's an eating disorder kind of where you have like stuff in the house, like you buy all of the snacks that you like and all the things that you want and then you throw them out.
Well, that just sounds like you have a lot of money to waste.
It did. Yes, but it also is a disorder. It's like you've got brain problems.
Well, I guess so.
Which is not, you know, you got to do something about it. You got to get a brain plumber in there. You know what I mean? I don't know what you fix it, you know?
But the pathologist
said they found a small tumor in Stephen Corfield's brain.
Jeez.
But they still don't know how he died.
Well, obviously it wasn't from having too much cake because they didn't have any of it.
I mean, what if this truly is death by chocolate?
It really seems like the death by staring at chocolate. Maybe they were just so envious their body turned against itself because it was not getting the cake. The police made open-minded and appropriate inquiries. There was no evidence of a third-party involvement. Not a lot of evidence that it was even a suicide. I don't know. This is just weird. They
it
just died
really
surrounded
weird.
By a bunch of freaking cake.
They just put a bunch of cakes in there. It does sort of feel like, in a way, like it's surrounded by the things that give them comfort. I don't know why they decided to waste themselves to death. I do feel like they kind of just sat and died.
Man, that would take
a How boring is that?
It's not the way I want to go. I'm going fast.
Oh yeah, if I'm going fast, and I'm gonna make a splash, baby.
All right. Well,
hey, you wait, because people are gonna know. I'm going for fucking likes.
Yes, indeed. Well, I'm sure you'll get a lot of likes. Well, before we get to Hero of the Week, let's do this story. I know you really wanted to do this story because it's about Aladdin's lamp.
I like this
and
story.
And I love this story.
Well, this is just
It such is a really cool freaking lamp.
It's a cool looking lamp. It's just such an... It's just kind of indicative of our times. Two men accused of selling an Indian doctor an Aladdin's lamp for $93,000 and have been arrested after he realized it did not give him the good health and fortune he was promised. But if you look at this lamp...
It's a kick-ass lamp.
They did a good job of putting like corroded... like stony metal around it to look like it's ancient and it's like it's big.
It's big. Also, Aladdin, like Gandalf, like all wizards and magicians, he works at his own time.
Not genies. Genies work upon when you get them.
Well, that's according to you.
They're to a la carte. Now,
no.
Genies you make in like an appointment where wizards and you.
The wizard makes the appointment.
They just show up.
Two men accused of selling an Indian doctor the Aladdin lamp. They were only arrested after the doctor said it didn't work. So everything was going great.
Well, you consensually bought the lamp.
But you buy it. I don't know. I just feel like you can't have buyer's remorse on the lamp. You're the one who thought it was going to work.
I think buyer's remorse is the exact term that you would have because you've spent $93,000 on a lamp that does not work. You thought you were making an investment, but apparently that was just a chunk of the payment. It was supposed to be 300 grand.
Well, I think the guy deserves to pay up. Dr. Late Khan, he went to the cops and was like, it's not working. And then the cops were like, oh, now it's a crime. I don't know. I feel like this guy also...
There's no returns.
You no longer get to be called a doctor if you buy a lens lamp and then you have to go to the police because it didn't work.
I'm
not going to you to check my balls. I'm not
I will think
you.
Twice. If I find out that you own an Aladdin's lamp, if you were just in there being like, the first step of like trying to fix me of my cancer, you're like, hey.
Rub this.
Rub this.
No.
So what is it? What's got a fly on it? What is
it? Oh, it didn't work. Oh, my God. Well, Khan said he met the pair after performing surgery on a woman in 2018. The two men described the woman as, quote, their ailing mother. So these guys, they met the doctor. Obviously, he didn't do well with his mom.
They flipped their own doctor. Into like the guy that's like did anything with them. They like instead of being like this is a hero, he yeah. saved my they saved my mom. They're like, fuck yeah, let's get this mark. Look how sad he looks.
He's
by carving
to
up our mother. Because honestly, you could tell he's actually kind of missing something. We should go over there and be like, hey man, you got that lamp in the storage unit still? Oh, you remember? Oh yeah, from when we did Aladdin in high school, the musical. Well, yeah, buddy. Yeah,
that is exactly what the guy said. So the surgeon or the doctor, again, massive air quotes on doctor here. He said, gradually they started telling me about a Baba, self-proclaimed Godman, who they claimed to visit their home. They started brainwashing me and asked me to meet this Baba. So the doctor is so weak, as he's carving up their mother, he's like, pitch me on something.
He's like, honestly, I'm feeling kind of desperate. Well, like, wrist deep in the lungs of your mother.
Can
he's
we
just
wait?
Like, honestly, I've been pretty bummed out. I actually really could use some kind of genie to give me a smile. You're like, but you're playing with my mother's intestines right now. It's very scary.
I just don't have any faith in this man's medical ability.
This is very similar to the story we're covering right now. This idea that people look for magical answers, and then you get exactly what you ordered.
I bought a $50 when you were over my house. You saw the $50 fake Necronomicon I bought.
Yep.
I'm not gonna sue when it doesn't summon the devil.
You get yourself a couple of tall boys inside of you, and then you start leaving some Yelp reviews on the people who sold it. That's what happens when you can't get your magic money back, but you can ruin the grounds roots campaign that it took to get you the Necronomicon.
I'm going to do the opposite of a negative Yelp review. I'm going to say Yelp, great review for Mystic Museum right here in beautiful
Mystic Museum. I miss them, and it's just another. Hopefully they can stay strong throughout all of this bullshit.
Yes, indeed. I went and supported them, bought a bunch of their stuff. So check out Mystic Museum. It's on Magnolia. So these guys, apparently they had cheated many families using the same scam. The total amount of money involved runs into the 7 million or several million rupees. Again, people are buying it, and if it's your last $93,000,
I feel like you could do a lot more like good in your own personal life using that money to even hire a wizard to do a ritual for you. A lot of times, what we learned from Adolfo Gonzanzo, you can get a ritual done. If you're willing to spend 93, you could talk to a Santeria priest and get it done for $5.
Yeah.
And this is just about looking. You got to check a bunch of different estimates. You can't just have... You can't take the first one that comes down the pipe.
It's never that, and there's always another one in the Tupperware right behind. If anyone ever tells you it's the last of anything, they have more.
This is a pointed lesson and a pointed bit of information you're pointed towards me.
Absolutely.
Emmy award-winning John Mulaney presents Everybody's in L.A., a special run of 6 live episodes created by and starring Mulaney that'll stream live on Netflix during the Netflix is a Joke Fest. The comically unconventional show will feature special guests where John Mulaney explores the city of Los Angeles during a week when every funny person is in it. Watch John Mulaney Presents Everybody's in L.A., debuting May 3rd live at 7 p.m. Pacific Time, only on Netflix.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
1, 2, 3, 4. Those are numbers. But you already knew that. If you want to know what number you're going to pay each month for your car, use Kelley Blue Book My Wallet on AutoTrader. They're really good at numbers. AutoTrader.
Well, let's see here. Just really, really quick. A woman had bestiality. She had sex with her dog, but then she ended up getting sentenced because she had an allergic reaction.
And the reason why I originally said we're not going to go into the story in depth, because it feels like we've been doing a lot of bestiality on the show. And it feels like, to me, the content is skewed heavily towards... Like, we did, like, 25 minutes on that chicken fucker the other day.
Yep.
Like, we did longer than... the amount of original comedy in Sarah Cooper's new comedy special on chicken fuckers.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, the unemployed bus driver was charged following the death of a 43-year-old woman who died hours after they had sex with the
animal. It's a terrible
story. It is, yep. And this was a German shepherd.
This is an awful story. I don't even want to hear any more of the details in it.
Father of three.
The German Shepherd?
No, the guy. Sean McConnell, a father of three, formerly of Rathmore.
He was fucking the German Shepherd?
No, this woman was.
I don't want to know anymore.
She died.
You're forcing me to answer questions because it's literally the it's like an impulse. It's a muscle reaction.
You ask away, my friend. I have all of them right here. Postmortem revealed a heart attack as the possible cause of death. So she was having sex with this dog, and she just had a heart attack there. She was the principal offender and a willing participant. And, of course, the death was, quote, not anticipated.
I'm fucking done, man. I'm just so done. So
she
I'm
was
so
having
done.
Sex with it. She woke up one day and was like, I'm going to have sex with a dog, and then boom. Out of nowhere.
Next week, I'm just fucking doing all aliens. I'm doing all aliens. I feel that we have wandered into a world where there are more people fucking their dogs than there are adopting.
It's quarantine.
It's quarantine. I know. We're all bored.
It's horrible.
We're all bored of it. That's why, you know what I think is a really good thing? Again, if you're going to have sex with one of your pets, you know what I think is a really good alternative? Get one of those cornhole boards.
Get one of those and play with the sacks of rice.
But none animal themed.
None animal themed.
Because you can't, obviously, if you're thinking about having sex with an animal, you obviously can't have anything that's barnyard themed, anything going into anything.
Well, Henry, maybe this, just before, again, you know, we don't want to take up all of your time here, listeners, because I know we have so many pressing things that everyone wants to get back to. But this story must make you feel better. The woman accused of impersonating a prosecutor to drop criminal charges against herself.
I mean,
I can see you doing that.
I hope. That is when a character comedian has fully blossomed. When the character can finally turn into something that keeps you from going to jail.
I love
then
this.
You're the ultimate.
So she was charged, and talk about a difference in country, even though we live in the same country. She was charged with drug possession and stalking. Okay, stalking and drug possession.
Yeah, man, I don't think that anybody that goes to this length is not innocent.
Well, you see her smiling in that mugshot. She is so proud.
Oh, my God, look at her fucking,
Lisa Landon, 33.
Destroy your life.
She is so proud of herself, and I have to say, oh, my God, the state's coming after me. I've got drug charges. Dress up as the DA. Go in there, drop the charges.
I know.
I actually love this meth-fueled idea.
It's a really, it's like so stupid, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
Because that's what it is. You just go in and say, like, if I dress up as George Washington, they will believe that George Washington has come back from the past, and what he's going to do is he's reversing the charges.
There you go. That's all you got to do. So this woman, she sees a reality she wants, and she's going out there and making it happen.
I know.
Although it did not work out. They did bust her because she doesn't look anything like the attorney, and it was just, I guess everyone was kind of on to it.
Yeah, because it was a full harebrained scheme, and she just tried to, she really went for it, though.
She really did.
She really went for it. She's going to end up on Saturday Night Live.
Certainly before you and I. Well, you know what? SNL, they might have you on still. If you want it,
I'm
75K a year to be buried on Saturday night. I mean, all right. Well, let's do you want to do Hero of the Week?
Of course.
All right. This week's hero is someone who is standing up to the most oppressive force in this country. The police? No, HOA. HOA.
With the Housing Association?
Yes, sir. This woman, her name is Angela Nava. She lives in Richmond. Okay, she put up a couple of skeletons for Halloween. Oh, that's fun. Everyone says Halloween, skeletons, makes a lot of sense.
Gotta put skeletons up.
She had the audacity to make them look like pole dancers. So they were kind of stripping.
That's fun.
Very fun. Even the skeletons, she put wigs on them. And she is going head to head with her homeowners association after they filed a complaint that her Halloween decorations were, quote, inappropriate.
You gotta fight these HOAs. They're gonna try and tell you how to run your life. You can't tell. This is my space. This is my fucking, this is a creative space for me.
You buy the freaking house and all of a sudden you got some weird Nancy and Stu coming at you to yell at you about your freaking grasping too long.
To come in there telling me I'm not fucking my wife vigorously enough?
This is how
Quit watching me.
Yep, that's how neighborhood violence occurs. So this is, she says she received a letter saying she had 30 days to remove the decorations. Of course, Halloween is well over in 30 days, but the letter said the decorations are, quote, offensively positioned. She said, it's modeled after an adult club. We just really had a good time changing the scene up every night. Every night we changed the positions of the skeletons.
That's hilarious.
It's been fun. And it's been really just great. And it's been a great creative outlet for me. Nava said she came up with the idea during the early stages of the pandemic, saying we've all been cooped up and it's just been a terrible year. We've just decided if this brings a little bit of joy and a little bit of smiles to someone, then we're doing everything right.
It's the best.
It really is the best.
That was one thing about this last couple months is that we had Halloween. to cling to for so long.
Yes.
It was so nice to have it.
It was beautiful.
Like, because it's such a communal, fun holiday, and people who don't like Halloween, I don't understand. I don't get them.
I don't get it either. ABC 13 in Houston, they decided to cover this, which, you know, because there's nothing else going on whatsoever. I just feel, from the bottom of my heart, and this is why Angela Nava, or Nava, it's N-A-V-A, you are Hero of the Week because you stood your ground and you said, you know what? Let's have a little light in the darkness. Let's have a little fun in the frown time. Let's have a good time with the idea of eroticism once again. And I think that that is wonderful. And honestly, these people in Richmond, you know for a fact, like, I'm not going to get political,
so
but can you imagine being upset seeing this? What a psychopath.
I just don't understand. It just gets to a point where we're just poisoned against sexuality in this country in a way that is so deeply embedded that you can't even have
skeletons. With their
What is it? How did it look?
It looks great.
Do they even have tits on them?
They're skeletons, Henry. They don't have any tits. They're just stretched.
That's cute.
I know.
That's literally just
that's
cute.
That's why she's the hero of the week, because it's just cute. All right. Well, don't let these prudes ruin your good time.
Don't. And I want to say thank you to we had several people from the Palomayombe world reach out to me, which I'm going to address on this week's episode of Last Podcast Left for Adolfo Constanzo Part 2. So thank you. You guys were very kind to share, which is technically very secret information.
Awesome.
Which was nice. So we are going to, you guys were very tasteful with what you gave to us. So we're going to end up releasing a little bit when we do the next episode. But I love having a clear review of Palomayombe.
Absolutely. It's very complex, I'm sure. Just the surface will be scratched, but that's very good.
Scratch your fucking surface.
Ooh, thank you, buddy.
All right, here we go. We got this story here. I'm going to read one of these stories. Okay. It's a listener story.
I don't know why you're saying you're mumbling it underneath your breath like you're...
listener stories.
Yeah, it's nice that they send in the emails, don't you think?
Like, just I love our audience and I love our listeners and I support them.
Seems as if you're slowly getting more and more broken as we record today.
No, feeling good. Feeling... good. Okay. So growing up, like most lonely children, I had an imaginary friend.
Yes.
Her name was Kind, originally, for what my mother tells me, but it morphed into Kendra later on for some reason, probably to sound cooler in my mind.
Yeah.
But I don't truly recall where it came from. Anyway, Kendra wasn't human. She looked like a cross between a goat and a bear. Long face, rectangular pupils, droopy ears, and an elegant crown of sharp, curling horns.
Huh.
It's terrifying.
Yeah.
Her body was large and soft. I would vividly remember the times I would pretend to hide under her when my father was particularly mad.
Oh, my.
She had bear paws, but cloven hooves on her hind legs. She was the color of oats with caramel eyes. Yeah, pretty stupid. That's your words, not mine.
Yeah, no.
I think it's scary.
Yeah, it's quite creative. It's the color of oats. I don't think I've ever heard describe anything that way.
It's very specific.
Yes.
Looking back, it was probably because my dad had a taxidermy bear in the basement, and I loved goats. I lived in the country where farms were plentiful.
Aww.
A mixture of two things in my tiny little mind.
It is kind of fun.
So fast forward through my lonely, pathetic childhood full of memories of my imaginary friend Goat Bear and the occasional wistful attempts to run away in the night where I would always take my sweet time wandering the dark country roads, forever quiet, with no lights but the moon under my feet, to the fall of 2018.
That's fun.
We have a local Renaissance fair every year.
Ooh.
And then I, a freak who is obsessed with Lord of the Rings and so forth, of course go to. You're not a freak, more people than not. Like
I have yet, one of the things that was taken for me from this damn pandemic was my Renaissance fair. I was going to go for the first time this year, and I'm going next year. I'm getting the leg. I'm getting a big old turkey leg. I'm going to dress like...
No, you and Jen Tisdale are the two biggest pro-Ren fair people I've ever met in my life.
I haven't been to one yet because I'm just going to love it. I know I'm going
to
love it.
I know. We have to go. We have to go! But don't worry. You're not alone.
Because you could be like little guy, and I'll be like big guy.
And I'll be like a necromancer.
Ooh.
Oh.
I'll decide what I want to be.
An executioner.
Yeah.
That'd be fucking sweet.
I actually think that I must have been an executioner in a past life, because I dream about it all the time.
I'm so fucking frightened. I'm so frightened. Here we go. They always had beautiful tents, trinkets, and hand-carved signs to show their specialities. That particular year, one of the tents belonged to a blind man, who I thought was dope as fuck. He wasn't spectacularly eccentric like one would imagine. A regular man with gray hair, cloudy eyes, and hands weathered by years of work. I cannot remember his name, but I will forever remember his smile. He had a gold tooth. He offered many services, from fortune telling through a bag of small bones to a reading of runes, but neither of those caught my eye. He had something I'd never seen before, a look into the creature that was the guardian spirit, if you had one. Now, at this age, I had forgotten about my imaginary world from childhood. Did this blind man with a gold tooth brought it rushing back in a simple 10-minute session? I had chosen his spirit service, intrigued by the idea. He didn't even hesitate to lay his hand on the table, beckoning me as to hold it. I did as told. He had been quiet for a moment before nodding, "It's a bear with kind eyes." It was such a simple description, yet it punched the air out of my lungs in disbelief.
Yeah.
Kind eyes? A bear? Oh my God, is that Bert Kreischer? That was my childhood shadow. As stunning as this was, I had forgotten all about it in a few months. That's when the nightmare started.
I mean, to be fair, he didn't mention the goat part.
No. It began outside of a massive cabin, family surrounding me as I eagerly went on to claim some rooms for ourselves, rushing over each other into the foyer. My father had grabbed my arm and told me I had a room on the main floor, the pink room. In my dream, the sense of dread I felt at the mention of the room made my stomach roll. I had argued, saying the room was not mine, that I couldn't be there, I wasn't allowed, yet my father didn't budge. He marched me to the room, which was alone in a long hallway, which had one other door at the very end that led to the outdoors. "Don't open that door," my father had warned.
Jeez.
"If you do, that man will get you."
Whoa!
My blood ran cold. The pink room was covered head to toe in what can only be described as old antique grandma decor. Doilies, beaded lampshades, quilts, you name it, it was there.
That's fun.
Everything from the carpets to the ceiling was just dusty pink rose color. It was suffocating. Honestly, it reminds me of the Madonna Inn, which is an incredible hotel. We love that place.
Oh, no kidding.
In my dream, I laid in the bed to relax, trying to quell my fear of the room. Deep breaths in and out. In and out. And then hands came down on me, forcing my body into the mattress with enough force to hurt. I couldn't see anyone, but there was a hissing voice above me saying things like, "Out, out," and "Let me in, let me in."
Well, what do you want?
In my dream self's mind, I knew what it was. It was him. The one whom my father warned me was on the other side of the outside door. Then I would wake up in an empty room, my dog watching me at the end of the bed, eyes glinting green from the moonlight. I always cried when I woke. The dent in my mattress was so deep from where I had laid, like yours, Kissel.
Yes, indeed.
Despite my slim and light body, I was always covered in sweat, my chest aching, my hands shaking. The dreams continued for weeks. It was always the same, but sometimes I would beg my father not to put me in the pink room. He always did. And I always ended up on the mattress, hands on my chest that pushed me down, the feeling of being violated so strong that I would always wake up feeling dirty. I was at my breaking point. And after I woke from the nightmare one night, my body drenched in sweat, body aching all over, mattress sunken beneath me, I caved into myself in tears. I felt the hopeless child I once was, alone and targeted, always in fear of the world I inhabited. I sobbed and sobbed, and my inner child called out like it once had before, "Please, please, Kendra, be kind, help me."
Whoa.
I felt I was floating after that, my body. Encased in a warmth, like a weightless blanket had been laid over my being. My stomach settled. My hands stopped shaking. I fell asleep almost instantly. I never had the nightmare again. After weeks of torture, I slept like a baby. Always blanket in that warm comfort. It felt like an embrace. I think about that night, and now always, I tell her goodnight. She's been kind to me. Always there to soothe my fears.
Whoa!
Kinga.
Very cool. Nice to get a full night's sleep. Although they say sleep like a baby, you show me a baby that sleeps through the night.
Babies do sleep sometimes.
Well, Katie from Kind of Fun, my co-host, Carson, her little baby, little 3 months, he's doing very well sleeping through the night.
So I didn't sleep until I was 6 years old, according to my mother.
I don't think you sleep now.
No, I have terrible sleep.
I slept 20 hours a day.
That's different.
Isn't that funny how things continue, but they also change a little bit? See, I can sleep during an immense amount of stress. My body does a thing called shutdown.
You see, that's nice, but normally for me, that takes a lot of booze.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm trying to watch it a little bit.
Booze will keep me up.
It can.
Yep. It can also put you to bed.
This is fascinating.
It's the best thing that's ever happened. Any more emails?
No.
That's it. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening.
Wow.
And, yep, as always,
we got through this episode.
We got through this episode, and we're going to get through
we're going to get through everything happening in this country right now. And yeah, thank you all so much for listening. Hope this gave you a little bit of laughter, a little bit of joy.
We
in
got
these
more
times.
Bullshit coming. We have Alfonso we have Adolfo Constanzo. This storyline in Last Podcast and Left is just getting more and more fucked up. I'm so excited
like
to get into it.
He doesn't like buy a zoo.
He does not get into the zoo business. He doesn't meet Kate Hudson and like discover like what's life on the other side when you meet a kooky girl. Like,
it's not like that.
It doesn't really work like that.
Trading places. Is it like that?
He mutilates 13 people. I'm excited though. You know, but still, I'm excited.
It's different.
It's going to be a fun series, and we have a lot of shit coming up in the wintertime. Very, very excited. We got a couple. We have more cults. We have more like stuff just like dripping with blood.
I cannot wait. It's called Good Modern Day Escapism, isn't it? All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Hope you're doing okay out there. And truly, from the bottom of both of our hearts,
live. You got to live in the chaos right now.
Yes, you do.
We're just in it. We're just floating in it, and we're kind of in the middle of it. But isn't that, huh? Isn't it just the fun of bureaucracy, the fun of jurisprudence?
It could also be gone right now.
Anything could happen. You don't know what's happening when you're listening to it right now. At this point, it might be completely different if you're listening to the episode.
Absolutely.
And you wouldn't be, you would not have to be in this.
Then anymore. Maybe you would laugh.
Yeah, maybe you'd laugh. Because at least then the waiting will be over. And then you'd have a new feeling, whatever that feeling is. I don't know what that is. You know what that feeling could be? Love.
Could be. Yeah.
Live, laugh, love. You got to love the feelings that you feel. I mean, this is the problems that I'm in. I have to constantly talk about in stupid therapy sessions about right. How you're supposed to feel the feelings that you feel, what you think is like a natural thing. But apparently sometimes what it takes is fucking years of chipping it away of what can only be called like a nihilistic stone sarcophagus that your heart has lied inside of for a long time. And then slowly but surely you have to just chip and chip and chip and chip and chip and chip until you get to the toffee of emotions. Yeah, but apparently demo day can last for fucking 36 years.
Absolutely. No, Henry did admit why he lost his previous therapist, because the therapist said the one thing that you have to work on is the thing that you refuse to work on, so I can't do anything for you.
That's what she said, but I think that she was just trying to fucking get out with the fucking, because it was too hot in the kitchen.
All right, everyone, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan more than ever in this time.
Magoo's delations, everybody.
Strike down my enemy, Satan. This is a good time to strike down the enemy, Satan.
Yeah, I'm not sure who he's working for, though.
Whoever's into people having their tops off. People who can handle a bunch of skeleton strippers.
I agree with that.
Honestly, call a Palo Mayombe priest. Honestly, somebody else do it. He's got less to lose.
Love you guys. Hang in there. Hail yourselves.
See you, fuckers.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Here you are, BPMs high, sweat dripping, body moving, tongue panting. You're working hard, real hard, and you're thirsty. You need vitamins, nutrients for peak performance and energy.
And your plants do too.
Aww.
I mean, just look at the little guy. Water-soluble plant food from Miracle-Gro is full of essential nutrients. Just a little scoop into your watering can and boom, instant feeding and bigger, more beautiful plants. It's kind of like a sports drink for your plants. You may have to suffer from heat, but your plants do not.